And welcome back to this week's episode of Until Green Card Do Us Part, a weekly show where we address the issues that immigration-based marriages made a few feet short of heaven can create for American citizens and their families. I'm your host, John Sampson, CEO of CSI Consulting. As this show progresses, we're going to be expanding the show to include other immigration and visa fraud issues, as well as the whole topic of immigration in general, because, after all, it impacts marriage fraud, VAWA fraud or Violence Against Women Act fraud, and UNT visa fraud. In this episode, we'll finish up discussing Michael J. Maxwell's congressional testimony given in 2006. Mr. Maxwell, the former director of USCIS's Internal Affairs Unit, the Office of Security and Investigations, or OSI, was highly critical of USCIS upper management. He rang the alarm bell, yet USCIS, and more importantly, Congress, hit the snooze button and went back to sleep. Why, you ask? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the fix, as they say, is in. Our government at its highest levels is infested with one-worlders, New World Order types, who believe the United Nations is better equipped to rule not only the United States, but the whole world, better than we can rule ourselves. Now, we'll get into the New World Order mentality in a future episode and how that mentality affects our nation's immigration policies. But in order to better understand that mentality, you have to fully understand how corrupt USCIS is, and what better way to accomplish that but to hear it out of the mouth of the man who was in charge of USCIS's Internal Affairs Unit, the Office of Security and Integrity, or OSI. So without any further ado, let's hear from Mr. Maxwell's testimony before Congress in July of 2006. Maxwell stated, and I quote, USCIS is a viper's nest of career federal employees willing to cover up faults in the system to advance their careers, to obstruct ranking political appointees, including the previous director, as well as members of Congress, mind you, at the cost of national security, and to institute policies, programs, and systems independent of headquarters and administration direction for their own gain. Since I last briefed the subcommittee in September of 2005, nothing has changed. In fact, recent news from USCIS only verifies the fact that we are seeing the beginning of the convergence I predicted at that briefing, the perfect immigration storm. Our current immigration system is broken. On this statement, there is virtually universal agreement, even among administration officials. During his October 18, 2005 testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, DHS Secretary Michael Chertoff stated, "We recognize that the current immigration system is in desperate need of repair." He went on to acknowledge parts of the system have nearly collapsed under the weight of numbers. At an April 5, 2006 press conference to announce the creation of task forces to combat immigration and document fraud, Assistant Secretary for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, Julie Myers, pointed out that terrorists have used legal immigration channels like asylum to embed in American society. She noted that each year, tens of thousands of applications for immigration benefits are denied because of fraud, and those are just the ones we find. On April 13, 2006, Janice Posado, head of the newly created National Security and Records Verification Directorate at USCIS, was quoted in a UPI article as saying, that USCIS adjudicators sometimes find themselves in a, quote, difficult and ambiguous legal situation when trying to weed out those who might pose a terrorist threat. I'm not going to tell you I have all the tools I need to deny citizenship and other immigration benefits to potential terrorists, unquote. On July 11th, 2006, ICE posted the following on its website. ICE also participates in the Interagency Identity and Benefits Fraud Task Force, which seeks to restore integrity to the immigration process and prevent terrorists and criminals from entering the United States. Operation Integrity is a new identity and benefit fraud unit initiative to restore integrity to the immigration system and to address vulnerabilities in the system that terrorist or criminal organizations could exploit to gain entry into the country. Operation Integrity will support a nationwide system of IBF task forces to detect, deter, and disrupt criminal and terrorist organizations that attempt to exploit the immigration system. Hold one for just a moment. They're saying that they are doing an initiative to restore integrity to the immigration system. That statement is a blanket admission that there is no integrity in the immigration system, because if there was, they wouldn't need to restore it. On June 20th, Karl Rove told the National Federation of Independent Business, immigration is turning into a big problem. The more you look at it, the more clear it is that every single part of the system is broken. Here are just a few examples to support Mr. Rove's critical assessment. The DHS Inspector General recently reported that from 2001 through the first half of 2005, 45,000 high-risk aliens from state sponsors of terrorism and special interest countries have been released into American communities because of the inability of DHS to conduct a thorough background check on aliens. Let that one sink in just a moment. An internal USCIS document reveals a backlog as of late September 2005 of more than 41,000 immigration applications with IBIS, which is the Interagency Border Inspection System, HITS, requiring further investigation. Senior-level USCIS staff have information indicating that suspected terrorists have established bogus educational institutions in multiple U.S. communities and used the student visa program to move recruits into the United States. Are you kidding me? Recent USCIS immigration fraud assessments indicate that the incidence of fraud in some visa categories, such as marriage-based visas, is as high as 33%. Since 2004, at least 17 reports by the Government Accountability Office and the Department of Homeland Security Office of Inspector General have revealed critical flaws in the way USCIS implements the immigration process, and annual reports by Citizenship and Immigration Services Ombudsman identify additional problems. Virtually every part of our immigration system is broken and needs to be re-engineered. But there are three overreaching issues that, in my professional view, says Maxwell, must be addressed before any policy reforms can be effective. They are rampant internal corruption, a customer service mentality that, despite vocal public denial by appointed officials, invariably trumps national security concerns, and a failure or refusal to share critical national security information even among the different component agencies of the Department of Homeland Security, or DHS, let alone with outside law enforcement or intelligence agencies. Now let's get into each one of those three. rampant internal corruption. As the agency that hands out green cards, work permits, and citizenship, among other immigration benefits, the temptations for employees of USCIS to commit crime are constant. USCIS employees work in an atmosphere that permits and often encourages the waiving of rules. It is only a small step from granting a discretionary waiver of an eligibility rule to asking for a favor or a taking of a bribe in exchange for granting that waiver. Once an employee learns he or she can get away with low-level corruption and still advance up the ranks, he or she becomes more brazen. The culture of corruption that permeated the old INS transferred intact to USCIS. This environment presents an easy target of opportunity for criminals, terrorists, and foreign intelligence operatives to ply their trade. Allegedly corrupt employees ranged from mail clerks to top-level managers at headquarters and senior personnel in the field and overseas. Despite the fact that I had set aside money from OSI's budget to purchase a case management system to track these complaints, I was told that I could not purchase one, so we had no way to track our caseload or conduct link analysis. We had no way to investigate more than a small handful of criminal allegations, since I was only permitted to hire 6 criminal investigators, despite the fact that I had been authorized in writing by the director to hire 30. Since 2 of the 6 were assistant directors at OSI headquarters, I had a grand total of 4 investigators in the field. Today, almost a year later, the backlog of misconduct complaints against USCIS employees is well over 3,000. This number does not include some 500 complaints that disappeared after Chief of Staff Parr and Deputy Director Devine took possession of all the complaints last winter and failed to return the same number they took. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, the fix is in. And the suspects are Tom Parr and Robert Devine. And if you don't think that's the case, I have a bridge I would love to sell you, and it would be cheap. Now, thankfully, Mr. Devine is no longer at USCIS. Importantly, Maxwell continues, this number also no longer includes service complaints, in other words, overdue immigration benefits, which are now separated and forwarded to the appropriate offices as they arrive. The total number of complaints, as well as the numbers that allege criminal violations, are unknown, since OSI still has no case management system. New complaints are still coming in at a rate of about 50 a week, as was true when I was director. OSI still has a grand total of 4 criminal investigators in the field to handle all complaints. Folks, do the math, figure it out. You got 4 investigators to handle 3,000 plus cases with an increase of 50 cases per week. It simply cannot be done. The 2 career special agents I had assigned to investigate espionage and terrorism-related allegations resigned in disgust, with one citing his desire to leave DHS to go, quote, fight the war on terrorism, unquote. While there are still multiple ongoing national security investigations and investigations against high-ranking USCIS personnel, there have been 3 high-profile arrests of USCIS employees in the past several months, along with 1 conviction. On March 21, 2006, Eddie Romualdo Miranda, a USCIS adjudicator in Santa Ana, California, was arrested by local police on charges of attempted oral copulation and sexual battery under color of law for demanding sexual favors from a naturalization applicant in exchange for approving her application. March 22, 2006, Lisa Ann Gross, a contract employee of USCIS, was convicted of providing confidential law enforcement information to the target of a drug investigation after she gained unauthorized access to the Enforcement Communication System, or TECS, and this case represents the first criminal conviction in a case opened and investigated by OSI. June 7th of 2006, Philip A. Brown, a U.S. CIS adjudicator in New York City, was arrested with his sister and 28 others and charged with arranging sham marriages, producing fake documents, selling $1 million worth of green cards, and laundering the proceeds over a period of more than 4 years. The FBI, ICE, and the DHS Office of the Inspector General, or OIG, conducted the investigation and made the arrests. On June 29, 2006, the FBI arrested Robert T. Schofield, a former deputy district director in the Washington field office of USCIS, after a joint investigation with the OIG for falsifying naturalization certificates for Asian immigrants. Allegations against Schofield for misconduct, including accepting bribes, unauthorized use of government credit cards, and falsifying immigration documents, date back at least 10 years. Arrested with Mr. Schofield was a Chinese national, Qi Ming Ye, referred to by authorities as an immigration broker for Chinese seeking immigration status in the United States. At the time of my resignation as director of OSI, the backlog of complaints included nearly 100 bribery allegations. Those allegations, which in March were intentionally underreported by more than half to the DHS OIG by USCIS senior management, gee, imagine that, remain untouched, as do allegations of extortion, harboring illegal aliens, and structuring. Substantiated instances of foreign government influence and potential national security breaches by employees also have yet to be addressed despite repeated warnings. Yet USCIS still refuses to aggressively support the new director of OSI and his staff with either a reasonable budget or a rational policy as long as OSI remains woefully underfunded, understaffed, and prohibited by management from carrying out its mission. Rampant corruption will continue. Now, this is going to tie in with the auto adjudication system down in Dallas and the one at the National Benefits Center in Lee's Summit, Missouri. Overriding customer service mentality is yet another issue. Maxwell testified that USCIS is suffering from an identity crisis brought on by years of mismanagement and unwittingly encouraged by Congress. The central mission of USCIS is to execute the immigration laws enacted by Congress and to ensure that only those aliens who are eligible and who do not pose a risk to the United States or its residents are able to obtain permission to remain here. However, the agency itself sees themselves as a relocation facilitator whose business is to serve aliens, who are the customers after all, wishing to reside here. The fact that the customer may be a violent criminal intending to victimize innocent Americans or a terrorist or a spy intent on the destruction of the country is viewed as an acceptable risk. I don't know to whom that's acceptable, because to me, that's not acceptable. Despite vehement claims to the contrary by political appointees, USCIS is operating an immigration system designed not to aggressively deter or detect fraud, but first and foremost to approve applications. Now, when you apply the internal corruption to what you're going to hear next, you should be able to draw the connection that a corrupt employee who can manipulate what's going to be discussed in a moment with the auto adjudication systems poses a significant risk. So let's get into it. Maxwell goes on to testify that a USCIS regulation, 8 CFR 274A13, states that if an application for adjustment to lawful permanent resident or LPR status is not decided within 90 days, the applicant is entitled to an employment authorization document, or EAD, also commonly referred to as a work permit. As of May 2006, Only five USCIS district offices were able to process all LPR applications within the 90-day time frame. Since none of the other district offices and none of the five service centers can meet this goal, virtually all applicants, whether they are eligible or not, and whether they are lawfully present in the United States or not, are able to obtain a legitimate EAD or work permit. According to the Government Accountability Office and the Citizenship and Immigration Services Ombudsman, this regulation has led to widespread fraud. You think? Illegal aliens can simply file a fraudulent application for adjustment to LPR status, wait 90 days, and then receive an EAD. Once they have the EAD, they can apply for a legitimate Social Security number. And even under the Real ID Act, they can legally obtain a driver's license because they have an application for permanent resident status pending. With a Social Security number and a driver's license, they can get a job, fill out an I-9, or a firearms license, board an aircraft, etc. The Citizenship and Immigration Services Ombudsman estimates that 325,569 EADs were issued to ineligible aliens between May of 2004 and February of 2006. Following my resignation, a tip I received from a USCIS Fraud Detection and National Security, or FDNS, officer led to the discovery of a, quote, auto-adjudication, unquote, system in use at the Texas Service Center. Additional whistleblowers stepped forward shortly thereafter and notified me that similar systems may be operating in other service centers. In order to address the demand for EADs as interim benefits, it appears that the Texas Service Center had developed a system that could process applications for EADs from start to finish without any human involvement at all. In other words, there is no point in the process where a USCIS employee actually examined the supporting documentation to look for any signs of fraud. Instead, the EAD was approved automatically when the underlying application for LPR status had been pending for 90 days. Another adjudication system identified during the same review that uncovered the auto adjudication system is even more troubling. Staff at the National Benefits Center in Lee's Summit, Missouri, acknowledged that there is a program embedded in Claims 3, which is the backbone of the ICE and USCIS Information Technology System, or IT system, without the knowledge or approval of the USCIS or DHS chief information officers. This rogue system, as was referred to by IT security personnel, allows a remote user to bypass the normal data entry process and manually insert any number of immigration files, what appear to be fully adjudicated applications for EADs and replacement of green cards, for example, into the computer system so that all standard application screening processes, including the lockbox function, which accounts for the receipt of immigration processing fees, so now you get the money involved in this as well, and all background checks, including the initial automated IBIS check, are circumvented. When I first briefed this subcommittee on September 29th of last year, I noted that roughly 1,700 USCIS adjudicators lack sufficient access to text to determine whether an applicant had known terrorist connections or is a threat to public safety. About 80% of all applications filed with USCIS are processed through a batch system that automatically runs the proper level background check on each applicant. The other 20%, however, are handled individually, and an adjudicator must conduct the background check and text. This tiered system was discussed in great detail at a meeting of senior USCIS leadership on October 5th, 2005. We've already touched on this meeting, but it bears repeating. The purpose of the meeting was to prepare for a briefing that Acting Deputy Director Devine and Chief of Staff Parr would provide Secretary Chertoff on both internal corruption at USCIS and tech's access, or lack thereof, on October 7, 2005, 2 days later. Then Acting Deputy Director Robert Devine, Chief of Staff Tom Parr, Chief Counsel Dia Carpenter, Director of FDNS Don Crescetti, then Deputy Director of Domestic Operations Janice Posato, and I were all present, as were a handful of other senior staff. Director Crescetti and his staff presented the results of a test they had conducted on techs. According to conclusive documentation from his National Security Chief of Staff, adjudicators with only techs level 1 or techs level 2 access were totally missing national security and public safety information about applicants. In essence, they were operating blind. We discussed the fact that if background checks on 20% of the 7.3 million applications adjudicated by USCIS in fiscal year 2005 were handled manually, that would mean that somewhere around 628,000 applications were likely processed by the 1,700 adjudicators who lacked text level 3 access. And this figure did not take into account the fact that adjudicators without level 3 text access may be able to process cases faster because they got fewer background check hits to resolve, which obviously is the motive as to why they don't want to upgrade their security clearances to get the higher text level access. After all, it's all about processing paper and pushing the paper out the door. The obvious conclusion was that all USCIS adjudicators needed access to level 3 text records in order to properly vet applications for immigration benefits and to ensure that known terrorists and others who present a threat to national security or public safety are not able to obtain immigration benefits. Seems reasonable, doesn't it? The only short-term solution would mean re-engineering the USCIS business model and slowing down adjudications by allowing only adjudicators with level 3 access to conduct manual background checks. The long-term solution was to spend upwards of $10 million to upgrade security clearances for USCIS adjudicators, which would allow all of them Text 3 access. Of course, neither solution pleased top management. At that point, ADD Devine announced that we had reached the core question whether immigration to the United States is a right or a privilege. He then asserted that it has always been the position of INS and now USCIS that immigration is a right rather than a privilege. Chief Counsel Carpenter concurred. Now, Maxwell ends his testimony with this observation. Secretary Chertoff recognized in his testimony before the Senate last fall that parts of the system have nearly collapsed under the weight of numbers. I would argue that our whole immigration system has already collapsed under the weight of the current numbers. As we have seen over the last 5 months of debate, there is consensus that the entire immigration system needs to be redesigned. It defies logic. What you just listened to were portions of Maxwell's congressional testimony in July of 2006 in response to Senate Bill 2611, which, had it passed, and fortunately it didn't, would have tripled legal immigration levels, instituted a brand new temporary worker program that was not actually temporary at all, and given legal status to 10 to 20 million or more individuals who have broken our laws. The reality is that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, logical about our immigration policies, and over time, they simply have gotten worse. I refer to our immigration policy as schizophrenic. All one has to do is look at the abject crisis at our southern border under the Biden-Harris administration, a crisis of their own making. With over 100,000 people entering this country illegally per month since January of this year, the system will simply collapse under the sheer weight of the numbers. So after hearing all of this, you might be asking yourself, what does this have to do with marriage fraud, VAWA fraud, U-Visa fraud? And the answer is simple. If upper management within USCIS is either so corrupt or simply doesn't give a rat's ass about all the failures and security breaches we've just discussed, what makes you think USCIS will care about a single U.S. citizen who is defrauded by an alien, even if it means the U.S. citizen may be imprisoned for a crime they didn't commit, so that an alien who is not eligible for an immigrant visa gets to stay and gets one at the expense of a U.S. citizen? Given the level of corruption and massive mismanagement on the part of USCIS's upper management, it's my opinion that marriage fraud, VAWA fraud, and the UNT visa fraud will only get worse given the sheer numbers we are looking at. Now, next week, we'll be getting into some actual cases I've been involved with. So please feel free to comment on the Facebook page entitled Until Green Card Do Us Part, or email me at csiinvestigations@netecin, that's netecin.net. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, John Sampson.